Okay, we're going to begin our worship this morning singing praise from Psalm 100, the tune St. Magnus, number 150. This is a psalm which begins encouraging us to come and to bring our praise and our worship to the Lord. In the second stanza, we're reminded that He is our Maker and that we are His sheep. And we're going to be thinking today about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And if you're one of His sheep and you're trusting in Him, then this psalm gives us plenty of reasons to worship and to praise Him. In stanza 3, it refers to His worthy name. In stanza 4, we're reminded that He is good, that His love is ever sure, and that His faithfulness lasts to all generations, even to us in the 21st century. So let's come and sing these words now to God's praise and then remain standing for prayer afterwards.
Oh, shout for joy unto the Lord.
Morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. And we're going to read from the first verse through to the 33rd verse. So John's Gospel, chapter 10, at verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, He is a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Amen. God will bless his word to us. As I said earlier, we're going to think today about Jesus' statement that he makes in John 10, verse 11, which we read, when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This statement is one of seven well-known I am statements in the Gospel of John. Other examples are, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so on. And in each one of these I am statements, Jesus is really proclaiming his divine nature. He's saying that he is, in fact, the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead. I know that in Fochen, over quite a period of time, you've been going through the book of Exodus. And you'll remember, I'm sure, the incident when God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. And God was sending Moses to the children of Israel to lead them out of slavery in Egypt. But Moses was reluctant to go. And he asked God various questions, including, he says, who he should say, when he goes to the children of Israel, who should he say had sent him? And God replies, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am has sent me to you. So I am is one of God's names. And when Jesus uses this form of language about himself, when he says, I am the good shepherd, he's saying in effect, I who am speaking to you am God. And while it might not be so obvious to us in our English language, the Jews and the people who listened to him at the time, they knew full well what he was saying. Because as we read towards the end of the passage, they picked up stones to stone him. And when he asked them, for what good work are you stoning me? They answered, because you, being a man, make yourself God. So they realized that Jesus was claiming to be God when he said, I am the good shepherd. And in describing himself this way, then Jesus is saying that he is the shepherd, and his people, those who trust in him, are his sheep. The Bible describes God's people in different ways. There's quite a variety of ways that God's people are described. Sometimes they're described as runners in a race. Sometimes they're described as soldiers fighting the good fight of faith. They're sometimes described as living stones in the building that God is constructing, or parts of the body, with Christ being the head. And there are other examples as well, but today we're thinking of this picture of God's people as Christ's flock, his flock of sheep. And those who trust and follow Jesus are his flock, and Jesus himself is their shepherd. And we're going to think of some of the qualities of a good earthly shepherd. We're going to think about what a good shepherd is like, keeping ordinary sheep in this world. And then we're going to see how Christ, as the good shepherd, fulfills those qualities in a spiritual sense with regard to his people. A couple of things to say before we start. First of all, I acknowledge that good earthly shepherds can be either male or female. But for the sake of today, I'm going to be calling them male because it makes it easier to compare them with Jesus. And the Bible also has a lot to say about bad shepherds. We're going to think about the good shepherds today, but the Bible also says quite a lot about bad shepherds. And Jesus says quite a bit about it in this passage. Quite a lot of the leaders of Israel, both the leaders in Jesus' day and the leaders over history, were bad shepherds. They led the people astray. They didn't teach them God's ways. They were a bad example to them, and they exploited them instead of providing for them and protecting them. And in my work over the years, I have come across a few bad shepherds as well. Men who kept sheep, not because they cared about sheep, but because of the subsidy that they could collect for keeping them. And they didn't really care whether they lived or died, as long as they got their money. But today we're not going to think about bad shepherds either, now or in Bible times. We're going to think about good shepherds, and particularly on Jesus, the good shepherd. So let's think of some characteristics of good shepherds, and then see how Jesus fulfills those criteria. First of all, a good shepherd knows, cares, and delights in his sheep. A good shepherd knows, cares, and delights in his sheep. To a casual onlooker, a field or a flock of sheep in a field all look very similar. They've got four legs, they've got a head, and they've got woolly bodies. But to a good shepherd, at least to one who doesn't have too many sheep, they are all different. He knows them as individuals. He knows the subtle differences in their appearance. He knows their different natures, their different habits. He can tell you about their lambing history, whether they've had twin lambs in the past or singles or even triplets. He can tell you about any sicknesses that they've had, and how well their lambs have thrived, and so on. So a good shepherd knows his sheep individually, and he also cares about them individually, especially in their earliest days when they're at their most vulnerable. Many a weakly lamb has been brought in a cardboard box to the farm kitchen and set in front of the cooker until it gains its strength. And so they receive individual care, intensive care in those early days. And a good shepherd not only cares about his sheep, but he delights in his sheep. He delights to see them doing well. He likes to lean on the gate of the field on a late spring or early summer evening and see the lambs, which only a few months earlier had been little spindly things, now charging about around the field like demented teenagers full of the joys of spring. So a good earthly shepherd knows his sheep, cares about his sheep, and delights in his sheep. And if these things are true of an earthly shepherd, they're even more true of Jesus, the good shepherd. He knows each of his people. He knows us as individuals. He knows our individual circumstances, our individual needs. In verse 14 of the chapter we read, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep." He knows us intimately. He knows us through and through. He knows us better than our nearest and dearest know us, better than we know ourselves. And no matter what trial or difficulty we may be going through, we can be sure that our good shepherd knows and cares. And he can sympathize with us far better than any earthly shepherd ever could sympathize with his sheep. Because no matter how good an earthly shepherd is and how much he knows about his sheep and understands sheep, he's never himself been a sheep. He's never seen a sheep's problems from a sheep's point of view. And in this, Jesus, the good shepherd, far exceeds any earthly shepherd, because he has seen things from a human point of view, because he took upon himself a human nature when he came to this earth, and he has experienced firsthand the kind of problems and difficulties that we face living in this world, spoiled as it is by sin. He knows what it is to be hungry and tired. He knows what it is to grieve at the grave of a loved one. He knows what it is to be let down by his closest friends when his disciples all abandoned him and fled. He knows what it is to be denied by one of his closest friends in Peter. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood, to be wrongly accused. And he knows what it's like to face Satan's temptations. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that he was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. So whatever problems, trials and temptations we face at the moment or may face in the future, we can be sure that our good shepherd knows and understands, because he's been through the same kind of trials himself. But he not only knows the trials we're going through, he's promised to be with us in them and to help us through them. There are some great verses of encouragement, such as Isaiah 43, verse 2, which reads, "When you walk through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." So our good shepherd not only knows our difficulties, but he has promised to be with us in them. He doesn't promise that we won't face these things, but he has promised that he will be with us in them and help us through them. Not only does the good shepherd know and care about his sheep, but he delights in his sheep. He delights to see his sheep doing well, to see his people growing in their faith and living lives which bring glory and honour to him. So that's the first thing that an earthly good shepherd is like. He knows, cares and delights in his sheep. It comes secondly to think of a good shepherd provides for his sheep. A good shepherd provides for his sheep. In Jesus' day, shepherds moved their sheep from place to place, wherever they could get grass. As the grass was used up in one place, they moved the sheep on to another place. And so today, a good shepherd will ensure that his sheep always have enough grass or other feed to satisfy their needs and to keep them healthy and well. He'll give them extra feed when the weather is bad, or when the grass is scarce, or when they're under particular pressure, such as when they're rearing lambs. So a good shepherd likes to make sure that his sheep are well provided for. And not just that they have the food, but they're actually eating it. He's concerned that all the sheep not only come to the trough, but they actually feed from what he's provided. And if sheep stops feeding, then the shepherd knows that there's a problem. He knows that a sheep that's not feeding is a sick sheep, and he takes action to try to rectify the situation. Likewise, in the spiritual realm, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has provided us with the best of spiritual food. And that food, of course, is in his word, the Bible. And he delights to see his people coming and feeding from his word, whether that's when we read God's word on our own, or when we meet in public worship with the other members of the flock to hear his word preached, or at the midweek meeting when you meet to study the word together. So Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has provided the best of food for his sheep. And if he sees us neglecting his word, then he's concerned, just as an earthly shepherd would be if a sheep wasn't feeding. He knows that a Christian who neglects the opportunities of hearing God's word is not a healthy Christian. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, might challenge you if you were in that situation about your poor spiritual appetite. He might challenge you directly through his word, but he's also delegated that responsibility to his under-shepherds, those leaders who have been appointed in the local congregation to care for the flock. So if your minister or elders challenge you at some stage because they feel that you have become careless about meeting together with the rest of the flock, then don't be annoyed about that. Rather, see that as part of the Good Shepherd's care for you as one of his sheep. Sometimes a sheep can come to the trough and stick its nose into the trough, and if you didn't look carefully, you might think that it was eating, but it might actually not be eating. And we can easily be like that when we come to worship. We're going through the motions, we're here, and everybody might think that we're feeding on God's word, but our minds and our hearts might be far away. We might be thinking about other things and receive no nourishment for our souls. So that's a challenge for us all. Every time we come to God's house to worship him, are we actually taking in the food that is on offer? A bad shepherd wouldn't maybe notice a sheep that was coming to the trough, but not actually eating. But Jesus, the good shepherd, will notice, and he will take steps to rectify that situation. And sometimes those steps might be painful steps for the sheep. So a good shepherd provides for sheep. Thirdly, a good shepherd protects his sheep. A good shepherd protects his sheep. Sheep are, by nature, defenseless sort of creatures. They have many enemies, and a good shepherd will seek to protect the sheep from those enemies. You remember King David in the Bible, in his youth, was a shepherd, and we read how he protected his sheep from lions and from bears. And at night in Bible times, the sheep would have been brought into a circular fold, and the shepherd would have slept across the door, with the door being the only way in. And so the shepherd protected the sheep. They protected any kind of wild animals getting in to harm the sheep. In this country, sheep aren't in danger from lions or bears normally, but foxes, grey crows, and domestic dogs can all cause problems. But then there are more insidious enemies for the sheep, which can often be more deadly. Things like liver fluke, intestinal worms, pulpy kidney, maggots, and so on. I hope I haven't put you off your lunch. But there are many enemies that a sheep has that are not so obvious as lions and bears, but they're even more deadly. And a good shepherd will do all in his power to protect the sheep from these enemies. And sometimes that protection will involve unpleasant or painful things, like having to swallow bad-tasting medicine, or getting painful injections, or being plunged into foul-smelling insecticidal dips. But a good shepherd doesn't shy away from these things, because he knows that these odd and pleasant things are necessary for the good of the sheep. The Christian too has many enemies, just like the sheep. Sometimes these enemies are summed up as the world, the flesh, and the devil. With regard to the devil, Peter tells us that Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And many Christians throughout the world are experiencing that in these times. They're experiencing these direct attacks of Satan. There's a thing called the World Watch List, published every year, which reports on the persecution of Christians across the world. And I have some figures just from the most recent 2023 version of that. And in 2023, more than 5,600 Christians were killed across the world for their faith. More than 2,100 churches were attacked or closed. More than 124,000 Christians were forcibly displaced from their homes, and almost 15,000 became refugees. So these are staggering figures, and these are things that are happening to people just because they are following Jesus Christ, just because they are Christians. So you might be tempted to say, well, is the good shepherd not doing a good job then in protecting his sheep when so many are being attacked and afflicted in this way? Well, Jesus never promised his people that they wouldn't face these things. In fact, he told them that they would be attacked, they would be hated by many people because they were following him. But what he has promised, as we mentioned before, is that he has promised whatever happens to us, these things will never ultimately harm us, and we will all eventually make it safely to our heavenly home if we are following the Good Shepherd. In this part of the world, we may not suffer these kind of direct attacks, but we're under more subtle attack. The world is always trying to squeeze us into its mould and persuade us to think and to act just the same way as everybody else does. And if Satan can lure us into being indistinguishable from the world, then he knows that he will stop us being useful in the kingdom of God. So we have the world trying to make us conform to its standards. But we've also an enemy within. We have our remaining sinful nature inside each of us, sometimes referred to as the flesh. And that makes us prone to give in to the temptations that Satan puts in our path. Thankfully, however, as Christians, we have Jesus the Good Shepherd to protect us. As Psalm 121 reminds us, he never slumbers or sleeps. He's always on call 24/7. And when we're in difficulty or facing some particular trial or temptation, we can cry out to him for help. And he has promised to give us that help. He told his disciples before he went back to heaven, "I am with you always to the end of the age." And this protection of the Good Shepherd comes primarily through our using the means of grace that he's provided, his word and prayer, on our own, in our families, and in the fellowship of the people of God in the local congregation. So it's through using these means of grace that the Good Shepherd equips us to face these trials and these temptations and enables us to overcome these enemies that we've been thinking about. Just as I said, the earthly shepherd doesn't shrink back from doing painful things to the sheep in order to safeguard them against various diseases. So Jesus the Good Shepherd may at times cause us or allow us to go through difficulties and painful experiences in order to train us in the way that we should go, in order to teach us to depend less on ourselves and more on him, and in order to cause our faith to grow. So the Good Shepherd protects his sheep. And then finally we think of the Good Shepherd sacrificing himself for his sheep. In order to care and protect his sheep, a Good Shepherd will put himself out. He doesn't sit with his feet up at the fire and let the sheep get on with things, come what may. Rather, he's prepared to expend effort and sweat and pain for the sake of the sheep. Think of the danger that David in the Bible put himself in rescuing those sheep from the lions and the bears. Remember the parable of the lost sheep and how the shepherd who had 100 sheep and one was missing went to great trouble and difficulty to find it. He didn't say, "Oh, I've got 99 others, I'll not bother about that one that's gone missing." Rather, he trudges over hills and valleys until he finds the one that is missing and in trouble. In case it's got itself caught in briars, or it's got stuck in a shuch, or it's on its back and can't get up again. So a good shepherd will put himself out for the sake of the sheep. He'll sacrifice himself. He'll get out of his bed on a wintry night when the sheep are lambing, just to make sure none are needing his help. If a good earthly shepherd is prepared to sacrifice much for the sake of his sheep, how much more Jesus the Good Shepherd has done for the members of his flock. The verse we began with tells us that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And this is surely something much greater than any earthly shepherd would do for his sheep. But it's exactly what Jesus the Good Shepherd has done for each of his sheep, for those who are trusting in him. Isaiah 53:6, well-known verse in the Old Testament, says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And this is the supreme feature of the Good Shepherd, of Jesus the Good Shepherd, his willingness to give his life for the sheep. And Jesus mentions it 4 times in that passage that we read in John 10. He mentions it in verse 11, verse 15, verse 17, and verse 18. 4 times, stressing that this is the key feature of the Good Shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. And you'll notice the words are, he lays down his life. Jesus was active in giving his life. His life wasn't torn from him unwillingly. He willingly laid it down. As he says in verse 18, "No one takes it from me, I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. The sheep of his flock belong to him. First of all, he made them. He is our maker. And then he has redeemed them. He has bought them back. He has purchased their freedom with the price of his own life. They are his, and they are precious to him. If something has cost us a lot of money or a lot of effort to get, then we really value it. It's precious to us. So Jesus, the Good Shepherd, treasures those for whom he has paid such a high price. Little wonder then that those for whom he has sacrificed himself, that they will be the objects of his special care. If he has done that much for us, how much more will he be willing to do? So these are just some of the what it means for Jesus to be the Good Shepherd. But none of these things will be of any comfort to us or any benefit to us if Jesus is not our shepherd, because he's not everyone's shepherd. We're going to be closing today singing the well-known words of Psalm 23. And as you know, the Psalm 23 starts off, "The Lord is my shepherd." If we can't sing the words, the opening words of that psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," and mean them, then all that we've been talking about, all the care and the provision and the sacrifice that the Good Shepherd makes for his sheep, are of no benefit to us. So that's the challenge for each one of us. Can we sing those words and mean them? "The Lord is my shepherd." A sheep from a neighbouring flock can look enviously over the hedge and see a good shepherd caring for, providing for, sacrificing himself for his sheep. But if that sheep isn't actually a member of that shepherd's flock, then it derives no benefit from that good shepherd. And people often take comfort from Psalm 23, and it's often sung at funerals. It speaks of the Lord our shepherd being with us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It also talks about goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life and dwelling in the house of the Lord, that is, in heaven forever. And if we're to know these comforts and we're to know these eternal blessings, then we will only do so if we can truly say that the Lord is my shepherd. That would be a somber note to end on, but it doesn't need to be like that. Because the one who said, "I am the good shepherd," also said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He also said, "All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." So if there's anybody here or listening afterwards who's never come to Jesus for salvation, then come today. Come with sorrow in your heart for all the wrong things you've done. Come with sorrow for rebelling against him in your life up until now, and come and commit yourself to this good shepherd, and then you will benefit from all these good things that we've been thinking about today, because he will be your shepherd. Amen. Come then to sing these words of Psalm 23b. "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be." So let's sing these words then to the tune Crement 71, and then remain standing afterwards for prayer.
Thank you.
Opportunity to think and to reflect on Jesus the Good Shepherd. And we thank you for this most amazing attribute of his as a Good Shepherd, and that he laid down his life for his sheep. Oh Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. And we pray that you'd help each of us to be sure that we are trusting in this Good Shepherd for our salvation. Help us not to walk away and forget about it, but to be sure that that is where we are at, that we are trusting in his death on the cross for our salvation. We pray that you be with us in this week that has begun. Help us in our different responsibilities. Help us to be able to fulfill those to your honour and glory. Give us strength to be different from people in the world, to have different attitudes and different actions. We pray that people looking at us would not see us just as the same as everybody else, but that they would see that we have been with Jesus. So be with us and help us commit ourselves into your loving care. Now, in the words of Hebrews 13:20, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.